When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome. And one thing about this week, things are a little more laid back, and we're looking into some stories that we've been meaning to get to. Last Friday was really a momentous day in television in the South. One of the legendary sports figures left his position, somebody that many of you, or at least fans of this program, are well familiar with. He is Rick Carley, who I got to know in Alabama many, many years ago when he allowed me to grace his station. And it's great to welcome our friend, also the Mel Allen Award winner, the member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame for last year, into our program. Rick's won too many awards for us to go through them, but he'll be happy to text you every one of them as soon as this interview is over. How are you, Rick?
Good. You know, you get your parents on the judging panel, those Emmy people over there. You know, Paul, I am sitting right next to the couch that in 2007, you sat down with Nick Saban, Coach Saban, and Coach Saban read you the Riot Act during one of these morning things. Do you remember that? He came in and said,
you know,
right
in fact, I
here?
Do. I was telling the group here today, you've done so many amazing things in your career. You've helped people. You've stood up for cancer. You've saved a lot of people and help put people in housing and all these things. But unfortunately, Rick, whenever you pass away, it's going to be Rick Carley, comma, who got into a boat with Nick Saban in 2007. Yep. So let's show a few things here. This was 2007 here. I'm going to have you give the context of all this. The one on the left, for people watching on TV, the one on the left is three men in a dinghy. That is Saban in Carley's kitchen. Mm-hmm. And how did this come about? I remember, but I thought you were crazy and you pulled it off. This was Nick Saban had not coached a game yet.
Right. Well, my boss at Fox 6 back then, she said, you know, can you get a one-on-one with Coach Saban? And I said, well, you know, I can ask. And I thought, well, instead of going over there and sitting him down in his office or the Crimson Room or whatever, how about thinking outside the box and try to get him over at my place, since my place was a microwave live shot away from the TV tower. So I called and I texted, I emailed Jeff Purinton, who was then the SID, and I was up on vacation in New England in August. He said, Coach Saban's going to be at your house like next week. And it was unbelievable. So I called you and I came in and scrubbed the house, and he came in and he enjoyed it so much. We brought a chef in and cooked him breakfast, and we had about five local hits on that first year. And he liked it so much, he came back and back and back after year after year. And then, remember, he got tired of driving to Birmingham, so he had us at his place. And I remember Paul Feinbaum finding the little Debbie Cakes jar in front of Miss Terry. That was quite good television. But the dinghy came about. We had different segments, and I just thought, let's think outside the box. And I had one of those cheap little, you know, they're not cheap, they're $800, but the Pelican, the plastic boats, you know, that you get at Lake Academy. And so, you know, I do some brim fishing or whatever out back. I have a little tiny lake behind my house. And the theory was to get Coach Feinbaum and myself in that. There's only room for two people. So you would be sitting on the sidelines for that segment. You got down on that dock. You gave me those little puppy eyes. Well, we shoved you in that boat too. So thus came three men in a dinghy and on live television. So there you go. And ironically,
I don't remember originally being cut out of that segment, but I'm glad you reminded me. but just think about this, Rick. If I had not been in the segment, we wouldn't be talking about it right now, because it became, I don't know how to describe why that became such a big deal, but it went viral.
It really did, especially if it was today, you know, 15, 16 years later. But, you know, a lot of those moments, I worked with you, 25 years on local television before you became a big star and left me. Don't worry. In my retire, if I do retire, I am planning on doing a radio show with Bob Lockerbie. So
that's, that's great. Bob was my original radio partner. So Rick, what people don't understand, this isn't the summertime. Camp was about to open. And I would say Saban, in addition to the hour there and back, he may have spent, 2 to 3 hours at your house?
I would think, that program, the segment of that program went 7 to 9, and he would get here at 6:30.
Yeah.
And so an hour here, an hour back, and then, he would spend four to five hours here. And he did that five or six times. And that's just some of the fun things I had, times with you, Paul. Remember, can I bring two more up real quick?
You can bring them all up.
1996. Remember Tennessee, Alabama, Legion Field? Remember that? Was that the game like Peyton Manning threw like a long touchdown pass?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're doing this college football show at night at 10:30 or whatever. The game was ending at 9. So we had to get something for our pre-show. And we call it a pre-show. I don't know what you call it, the SEC Network or ESPN. Just a little segment before the animation rolls, the open rolls. We walk into the locker room, the Tennessee locker room. There's one guy standing there. It's Peyton Manning. He knew you, I guess, from your SEC, Tennessee grad.
Right.
And son of a gun, I'm looking up, our cameraman's there. The only guy left in the locker room was Peyton Manning. You're doing comedy shtick with Peyton Manning for our pre-show. I thought that was fantastic. We ran back to the station and got it on. And the other one, you remember this, 1997. I think it was 97. They all run together somehow. It was a Tennessee-Auburn SEC championship game. Craig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Tennessee won by a couple points. So we're doing a live special right outside the Georgia Dome. And that was when...
It was also about an 8-degree night in Atlanta.
Right, right. And we had police tape around to try to keep the haters away from you. Because back then, I mean, Auburn people hated you more than they hate you now. I mean, they were coming after you. So we had a little monitor down at our feet just so we could see see ourselves on TV if they rolled highlights from the truck. And I see this body just go flying horizontal, just like right this between us. It was our news director tackling an Auburn fan who was trying to come get you on live TV.
The guy was within about a foot or two. And I think, was that Stan Knott? I'm trying to remember. And
Stan Knott or Mike McClain,
I can't remember. It was either one of them. It may have been McClain. I think it was McClain. And McClain laid him out like a linebacker, face down.
Unbelievable.
On a 9-degree night in Atlanta on the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And McClain, in fact, he went on to be like general manager of WAGA in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was McClain.
So he had a great TV career, and you have to wonder if it was that great tackle that propelled
him. It was truly amazing. And there's another time, Rick, which I've never seen the video of it, but it's a game that's talked about so often. We're on the bridge in Athens in 2008.
Okay.
Georgia was number one or two in the country. Alabama came in there 31-0 halftime lead. And we're doing the show, and Georgia fans are beside themselves. That's when the Georgia frat boy poured a beer on my head while we were on live television.
I do remember that. And even your entourage couldn't protect
Nobody could stop me.
Well, you've gone to the big time. You're hanging out with Tebow and Roman Harper and all these people and Laura, and
I'll never forget seeing you. So I leave town, and I'm still commuting to Birmingham, and we're at the Rose Bowl in the Auburn when Auburn played FSU in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the year before I'd done the show with you, and I'm walking off, and there isn't a FSU fan. Surprise, surprise, were after me that night. Because I said Jameis Winston shouldn't have been eligible or whatever, and I look up and you're just shaking your head like what happened to you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got all this ESPN security around. Remember the good old days when we had to fend for ourselves?
Remember that? But we've had great moments. Bobby Bowden popping in. Another one real quick. We're reminiscing. Remember we were sitting at the Iron Bowl that one year, and we're up in the press box, and in come reports that Tiger Woods was hit by a golf club by his wife backing out of the driveway. Remember that? And that was a bigger news that day than the...
Yeah, we had a hard time getting on the air that night. I can't remember what year it was. It was the final year we did this, because I think this we went to Coach Saban's house, and by then he had gotten smart. He greeted us, did a segment or two, and then I mean, practice, we were, I think, a week before the season this time around. So he legitimately had work to do. And they left us with Miss Terry. And remember, she had a, maybe it was a baby grand. I can't remember what kind of piano. Yeah. And I got up on top of the piano.
Yeah.
And she freaked out.
Very professional of us. Yeah.
She absolutely freaked out.
And yeah, I'm in a very glitzy part of Tuscaloosa on the lake, the head coach of Alabama's beautiful mansion. And Paul Feinbaum is on top of the baby grand, stomping his feet. Very professional of us. But no, they were great.
They
took us up to the
without a camera, Rick. She gave us a tour. I joke about this all the time. People accuse me of all the things with Coach Saban back in the day. We made it into Coach Saban's bedroom and his closet, and she took me in there and showed me his suit collection, which looked like the men's department at Bergdorf Goodman in New York.
See, I don't remember you doing that.
You may have been setting up the next shot while we drifted off.
I must have been on the air doing my job while you were, schmoozing. But that was a lot of fun. Well, good to see you're doing so well, Paul. I enjoy your show, and you guys do a great job in the morning.
I read this big article about you on AL.com the other day. So tell us what a TV guy does when he does his last TV show.
Play a lot of pickleball. And no, I do not know. Look, it's, Father Time is a cruel thing, as you know, and it's 43 years in the business. I was doing the morning show at Channel 13 at WVTM 13. Wonderful people, great station. And 4 years of getting up at 2:15 in the morning is tough.
Yeah, but
in local TV, doing 4 hours or 3-4 hours of news, and then going out in the field and doing more. So I just decided, maybe it's time to get my legs back. And I might write some books. I might do some podcasts. I might, I really like? I like the long features.
So tell people, Rick, about what you're doing. You got a lot of attention about what you're doing on Facebook right now.
Well, I mean, I discovered writing about 5 years ago, when just before I left Channel 6. I started writing not so much about me. A lot of Facebook posts are about people writing about themselves. I started writing about other people, and I started writing about good news, and it really caught on. And so now I've got quite a following, and I enjoy writing. I was always kind of a TV shtick guy, but I guess I got older. I grow older. I get a little bit more serious and a little bit more touchy-feely. And some of these stories are really good. I mean, they're not about – there's some. I talked to Jalen Milroe's dad today. By the way, Jalen turns 21 tomorrow. And he celebrates a birthday, as do I. And then Saturday, he will graduate with a degree in business and entrepreneurship in just like 3 years. So there's your insight from Quentin Milroe today. But not only the connections to the sports world, but I also write about the so-called common man. Everybody's got a story, and I think it's really fascinating. In fact, maybe I could write another book on your radio show.
It hasn't been one out in a while, Rick.
Six months.
I tell
or
you
so.
What, if you do that, I can tell you where you can get a lot of promotion.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I hope you get a break. Rick Carley is one of the hardest working people and one of the best in terms of not only what you did on the air, but the features, the essays, the things that you put together have won numerous Emmys, countless awards across the country. And I don't feel like you've ever gotten enough recognition for that part of your career, showing people's struggles and what they've overcome.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. And it's fun. There's everybody, like I said, everybody has a story. Some are heartbreaking and some are funny and some are not so, but it's a project for me. We'll see where it goes. And there's a lot ahead. I'm not done yet. I'm just done with morning TV for now. So we will see. And when I hang up with you, I'll just sit by my phone and wait for it to ring for the next 24 hours.
Well, hopefully it will. Rick, I hope to see you soon. It's always a pleasure to visit with you, and all the very, very best. And let's put those pictures back on the screen one more time of Carley's coffee house. By the way, I can't get over how young Nick Saban looks there, but it was 2007.
I know, doesn't he really? Well, that was 07, 08. Yeah, so that's 16 years ago minus, 72 now? We're at late 50s.
Yeah, no,
so
he was a male model back in the day.
He was.
So were you, Rick.
Much Much like you. Oh, yeah, I bet.
I look just as old then as I do now. So
no, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. I've added the glasses and a few more pounds, but don't we all? So, but anyway, it's been a pleasure, Paul. And sometime, you know, next time you're down here, call me. I'll take you to lunch. And,
I'd love to.
You know, we'll play some pickleball.
Rick Carley, many, many thanks. And congratulations on an extraordinary career. We'll take a short break. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Again, an update. The Attorney General of the state of Florida has called for an investigation and is demanding answers from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Film at 11. Stacy is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Stacy.
What up, Paul? We got breaking news, everybody. Breaking news in reference to Miss Ashley Moody argument and Paul and Randy. And they are the jury. So I'm Stacy from Birmingham, Judge, and just want to let you know this is a couple of reasons why we came up to put Alabama in and not Florida State. At the halftime, Florida State was up by 3. We thought that, you know, you guys came into the game, you know, you couldn't move the ball, you couldn't do any of that, so we looked at that. We also looked at the ending of the game where you had 55 passing yards. So we took that into consideration. In Alabama's defense, Alabama didn't lose a game since the second game of the season, and they just pretty much found a way to win for the rest of the season. And that Alabama team got better. They didn't get worse. They got better. So we came down to the decision that Alabama was the best team, and this is how we came up with that. We looked at Alabama and said, if Alabama get in, could they win it all? Yes. We looked at Florida State, and we said, if Florida State get in, can they win it all? The answer was no. So, with that being said, Alabama got denied to get in, and that's our decision. So, live with it.
Thanks, Stacy. Appreciate it. A little more information on Ashley Moody's lawsuit. Well, not a lawsuit. She's essentially launching an antitrust investigation. Now, there are a couple of key things to remember here. She sent a civil investigative demand letter. They're civil and criminal, civil being far less serious. Her office wants a list of documents and information, including all communication with the Atlantic Coast Conference, the Southeastern Conference, and ESPN. She, as the state's top legal official says, she has the authority to launch an antitrust investigation and the power to take legal action against companies, organizations, and individuals alleged to have committed state or federal antitrust action. She said the investigation would examine if the selection committee was involved in any anti-competitive conduct. As it stands, she says, the committee's decision reeks of partiality. So we are demanding answers, not only for FSU, but for all schools, teams, and fans of college football. In Florida, she says, and she put out a video to back this up, merit matters. If it's attention they were looking for, the committee certainly has our attention now. The letter sent to the committee says the investigation will look at possible contracts, combinations, or conspiracies in restraint of trade or monopolization, attempted monopolization, or commerce relating to anti-competitive effects of the college football playoff on the Group of Five conferences and Power Five conferences. She goes on to demand the selection committee turn over all documents no later than January 11th, but as soon as December 26th. At least they give the committee Christmas. The request not only asks for communications exchange between the committee and the NCAA, ESPN, and conferences, but also documents such as vote sheets and details on financial guarantees. The Attorney General is also seeking any recordings or audio of meetings and information on compensation paid to committee members. This just in from Tallahassee. And she prefaces she is a Gator fan, but she's the Attorney General of the state of Florida.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome you back, and Mario is up next. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
There's just a couple things I wanted to say. Is number one, I guess, for the Florida State fans, if you don't mind me saying that. I mean, I watch you almost every day, and I notice that they're hating on you a lot, like you're the CFP, like you're boo or something. But I think if you look at it either way, like if you were to leave out Alabama and Texas, and you put in FSU or either one, I mean, it'd probably be a bigger deal if you left out those
two. Yeah, no, I think it really would have been. And Florida State's a good brand. They've done a lot, but they're not Alabama.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But another thing I want to ask you is, I'm a Texas fan, and I notice you don't get a lot of Texas fans calling. But I want to ask you, what do you think the chances are of them winning the national championship?
Pretty good. I like them against Washington, and we've already seen the Alabama game once. I think it would be different, but I think I think they're not quite the team they were back then, losing the great running back, but I think they're really good. I mean, Ewers is a unique quarterback, and I think Sark's one of the top five coaches in the country.
All right, before I let you go, can I predict it?
Sure.
Championship. All right, Texas and Alabama. Texas wins.
You may be right.
Appreciate it,
I mean, I think Alabama. I mean, at some point, they have dodged a lot of bullets this year. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along and talk to Jay in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey there.
First, the Rick Carly interview was great.
Thank you.
Hands down, the best of the month. It was great. And first of all, I want to congratulate our field goal kicker on a great career at Alabama. And that was a monumental breaking that record. And I want to congratulate our defensive players that made the All-American team. And Paul, I got a couple of questions for you. First, have you heard an update on Kool-Aid McKinstry on his injury?
I have not heard anything new on that.
Okay, I hope he'll be ready for that game against Michigan. And
I think he will be.
Second, all I got is, you ever thought about doing a documentary on yourself or having a documentary done on you?
You know, in fact,
you come a long way, Paul.
There was a group. At one time, there was a couple of things going on, including Netflix had a group that was interested in the documentary. We met literally about 2 weeks before COVID struck, and then a year and a half later, everything changed. They wanted to do it on the show. Because, you know, Roll Tide, War Eagle, which came out in 2011, used our show as a mechanism, but there's never been one specifically on the show. I think there is a great story there. It just takes the right person to decide to do it.
Get Marty or McGee to do it. They're real good at documentaries.
You're right. I think, well, you just saved me a lot of trouble. I'll call both of them as soon as we take a break here. Thank you. Let's check in with Mickey up next. Hello, Mickey.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul. See, I'll tell you one thing. You are a fine bum. No. I have a little story about I-Man and Jim from Tuscaloosa. They were laying on the edge of a beach. And Jim, he about half asleep, he woke up. He saw two black fins sticking out of the water. So he bumped I-Man and said, "Hey, I-Man, look at that. What do you think that is?" And I-Man said, "Well, one of two things, either two sharks or 57 Plymouth."
That's great.
Well, anyway, I enjoy your show. And I hope you didn't take offense when I called you a fine bum.
No, I've that's one of the nicer things I've been called.
Well, you are.
Hey, Mickey, you take care of yourself. Thanks for bringing a little humor here into this sea of dissension. Derek is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
This is Derek, first time caller, long time listener.
Yes, sir.
I was calling about the gentleman that called a little earlier about the pass, the quarterback playing, throwing to the receiver,
right,
and the receiver dropping the ball, and the quarterback getting penalized for it. If
right.
the quarterback making an accurate throw to a receiver and the receiver's fault to drop the ball, the receiver should get the blame for it, in my point.
Yeah,
I
think you're right.
I noticed this in pro football and in college. And if I can use your show for a mouthpiece to try to get this overturned rule, because that messed up a quarterback career when he's throwing an accurate throw and the receiver have it in the hand and let it go, or they do a pick six or however it go. That's what I was trying to see. Can I get somebody to listen to it and try to get that overturned some kind of way?
Well, Derek, you just spoke to a lot of people there. Maybe someone was listening. Thank you very, very much for the call. Adina is up next.
Oh, I've been looking so forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank you.
So I called in the day after the SEC, and that was the best day because you had the craziest remarks. But there's two things. The guy that said that Nick Saban should just give the game to Kirby and let Georgia go,
that got me. Yeah.
That was the best. And you did not even – you didn't move. Like, you made it through that. But today was the best of the best. When the attorney general calls, oh, that's just funny to me. And then DeSantis and all them. But when Harbaugh is cheating, it just goes right away.
No, I haven't heard anybody talking about that. No.
Yeah. I mean, that was like, okay, well, no. Three games were done. So she probably doesn't even watch football, Paul.
Well, first of all, I think the fact that the very first thing she said was that she's a Gator fan sullied her objectivity, because that should not matter one bit. And she was using that politically to let everybody know, hey, I'm a Gator fan. I mean, you are the attorney general of the state of Florida. It doesn't matter where you went to school. You're supposed to enforce the law, not go around filing suits about things because you have a constituency in your town that's angry about it. I mean, I don't know
the
lady. She has credentials, but
yeah.
The idea that she and the fact that she doesn't realize the most important and salient point that Florida State, a member of the ACC, has an exclusive relationship with ESPN. ESPN is the sole entity of all media for the ACC. They have an ACC network, which is part, which is shared share ownership with ESPN, and ESPN broadcasts every game in the ACC on one of its networks.
Yeah, they stopped short of threatening on that little verbiage. You know, I'm like, that's a dangerous game they're playing.
I mean, it's basically just patronizing to your constituency, which, you know, I don't mind. That's fine. But your credibility is already in jeopardy by mentioning you're a Florida fan. Is that how you decide who to go after in the state of Florida by what fan base they belong to? That's absurd. You're supposed to be
right
above
there.
The law without fear or favor. So the very first thing you tell us is, I'm a Florida fan, but I feel your pain from FSU. I mean, Ashley, come on. You should have called.
You should have called
Paul, and we would have advised you how to announce your
lawsuit.
Whatever. I'm trying to stay out of the lawsuit, so I'm being very careful what I say. Hey, thanks, Adina. We head to the break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. As we continue here, let's check out Greg in California. Hello, Greg.
Yes, hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Wonderful. Great to hear from you.
I had to call. I'm an Auburn fan, actually, and I'm a lawyer, retired, but I live out here in California now.
Sure.
But I did think it was very interesting about the the Florida Attorney General's move today, which appears to me to be a pure political stunt. As you said, her statement to begin with that she was a Florida fan lets you know all you need to know. She's looking for votes on both sides, which is kind of nice when you're a politician.
But Greg, explain, it's a civil complaint. Can you give us a little context to what that really means?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the complaint and haven't seen what she filed and frankly wasn't aware that she literally had filed a lawsuit.
Let me correct myself. She has not filed a lawsuit. She's simply asking for information, charging possible antitrust violations.
Right. So she did a tweet or something like that publicly. If I understand it correctly, the committee is supposed to decide the best four teams now.
Right.
And as an Auburn fan, I will have to tell you that my Alabama friends are correct. They belong in the top four. All you have to do, maybe what she should do in her request for documents, is to request all the emails and text messages between Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan coaches around the time of this decision. And let's see, who do you think they preferred to play, Florida State or Alabama? And I think they'd give you your answer.
Greg, you are my kind of lawyer.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks
for taking my call.
If you have the facts, argue the facts. If you don't, scream and holler and blame somebody else. So we had this story a minute ago. Rick Carly was on, and it was 1997. We were doing a local TV show outside the Georgia Dome at the time. It was about 9 degrees. We had no security. We had we just literally were at the mercy of fans after the game. And apparently, I really don't even remember. It was Auburn, Tennessee. I don't remember what the fan was upset about. But he described how some guy was literally within a foot or two of me, diving toward me on live television. And Mike McClain, who was the news director, or the program director, whatever he was at Channel 6 at the time, later to go on to Atlanta, absolutely slammed the guy head first into the concrete on a nearly 0-degree night. Well, Brooke is his wife. I've gotten to know her over the years, and she is chiming in. Brooke, it's been too long. How are you?
I know, it has been. Doing great. You?
Great.
Obviously,
to
well.
You. Well, it's so cool to hear from you. So did we get that story right?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Although it's so funny to me because Mike is not like that. In fact, you know, like we had to he found a snake in the yard, and he made me go outside and kill the snake because he just couldn't do it. So the thought of him tackling someone is bizarre to me. But mostly right, he went to Atlanta to become news director, and now in Orlando as GM. But in between those two, for a hot minute, we were actually in Charlotte.
I didn't know that.
And he was the GM at the station there.
Now that I know he's a GM there, I'll be sending my resume tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, come on down. We love it here, except for what this mess with Ashley Moody. That, as a current resident, that is so infuriating. I mean, I heard it from Rick Scott the day after, and then DeSantis says he's going to budget $1 million to fight the CFP, and now she's doing this, and that's such a waste of time, money, resources. It's silly. I'm just in shock that that's happening.
Well, and legally, she has absolutely nowhere to go. And you know, I think the most important thing, if you're claiming antitrust, how are you able to prove that, considering the ACC for the 2023 season and until I think 2036 has an exclusive arrangement with the ACC and ESPN, where even the SEC did not until next July. I mean, there's nowhere to go on that.
No, there's not. And the CFP guidelines are completely subjective. So there's no reason to be, I mean, there's a reason to be upset. I do feel a lot of sympathy for the FSU team and their fan base who were left out, of course. But they wanted it. Everybody wanted it to have a human look, not just the computer. They wanted people to talk about it and make decisions based on that. And if they're not happy with it, I hate to tell them, but when we go to 12 teams, there's always going to be someone left out. But then the seeding, there's going to be arguments about that, because you could still have like an undefeated Tulane, for example.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Brooke, I hate to do this. We are literally knocking at the break. But thanks so much. Best of Mike. It's really great to hear from you. As we continue, another hour to go right here, we'll talk to Billy Walters.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.